Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one show on the internet for Joe Rogan and how powerful he is. I am your host, Powerful Parker, joined as always by Powerful Cumulus.
Hey, is that how they introduce themselves on the show? Powerful Joe? Powerful?
Well, he calls everything powerful. I don't know how he introduces himself on his show because I always fast forward past the first 20 minutes of it because he does like 15 solid minutes of advertising for Onnit.com at the beginning. So,
Onnit.com.
Yeah, he's selling shroom tech, you know, he's selling those alpha brains.
Oh, all right. Well, never mind. Do you listen to Marc Maron at all?
I listen to Marc Maron sometimes, like if there's like a super cool guest, but not often. Because like I've said on the show like a zillion times, he's real super like condescending and like really passive aggressive and likes to assert his dominance over his guests, like no matter who they are. Like he'd be like, Louis C.K., like here's a snide remark about how I'm a better comic than you. And it's just like ridiculous. Like it's just Marc Maron. Like there's no need to do this. Like and I've talked about this, I'm sure, because it makes me so angry. But like anytime he's got like somebody with like an alias or whatever it would be, like a pen name. Like he had on Diablo Cody, and he made sure to call her by her like Christian name rather than call her Diablo. Which I don't know. Maybe she just goes by her Christian name, like with her friends or whatever. But like that shit irks me so much. Like if you call, like if you don't know somebody and then you call them, you refuse to call them by like their name that everybody knows them as, like I don't know, that's just a thing that bums me out. It's a real Rumpelstiltskin way to assert your dominance and be like, I'm not going to call you what the peasants call you, I'm calling you your Christian name because I have power over you.
Wow, nice reference, by the way. I was like, Rumpelstiltskin. Oh, yeah, there is that part of that story. You have no problems joining forces with James and Josh from Entertainment Weekly?
Yeah, this is a new development in podcast town. They have stopped their beef with you. That is...
Likewise, I've also stopped the beef with them.
Well, you didn't have a beef with them. You just made a prediction, and then they got irrationally upset. So that's not really much of a beef.
But we do enjoy good beef, I have to say. That's our one of our catchphrases for the show is, where's the beef, right?
It's because we want to be talking some shit about you and your friends, and we want to fight in the streets.
Yeah, this is 2016. We get violent. It's going to be a year of violence for us. And yeah, I'm glad to hear it. So we can move forward with this amicable resolution.
Yeah. Of
hate.
Indeed. But yeah, those guys want to go. They want to squash the beef. That way everybody can go to war with Marc Maron, which I guess they'll talk about on their new episode. Wink. Their podcast. but I'm down with that. Fuck Marc Maron. And also, one of my favorite podcasts, The Biggest Problem in the Universe, they've been at war with Marc Maron for a long time. So
I wish I'd get in league with those guys, too.
Yeah, if we can get in with those
group.
Yeah, if we can get in with those guys, that would make me very happy.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
So we're going
where it's headed.
Yeah, it's headed to war.
Yeah, that's great. Man, January sucked, but February is looking pretty nice, if I do say so myself. I had a pretty good week this week, actually.
I saw that you went out of town.
Yeah, I did a couple of things like every fucking night. And Thursday, I went to Memphis to see NXT Live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man. It was really fun. Memphis crowds for wrestling, I'm guessing, are a little bit unique from other crowds. Well, I'm sure every crowd you go to is unique. Don't get me wrong. But Memphis has a pretty storied history, what with Jerry the King Lawler and Mid-South Wrestling. And, of course, the Andy Kaufman insurgence, like celebrity finally coming into contact with pro wrestling in this very surreal way. Like that feud between Jerry and Andy obviously changed wrestling forever. I mean, I don't think a celebrity would have smoothly transitioned over to wrestling had it not been for that. And they still made it a work. Like they still had heel and face and tried to make it as storylined and well, I guess believable as possible. Though most people there, I'm sure, kind of knew the absurdity of it and were in on the joke. There's still like plenty of people who aren't with that sort of perspective, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure the majority of people at the time thought that was as real as it could get.
It's peculiar when you look back on those videos of people watching wrestling in the 80s and 70s, because it was a carnival act through most of since we're carnivals, they would have like the pro wrestling matches where they'd basically fight an audience member or plan or whatever. Anyway, it's been around for a long ass time. And also that Squared Circle book that I read, talked about a while ago, where it's mostly like pro wrestlers' deaths and whatnot. But they go into this deal where it's like, yeah, there is the audience that totally buys into it, like the marks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to carnival terminology, but there's also people there who are aware, like they know enough to know that this person has come around before, like they just have a different name, it's a different character, but they still don't mind getting worked up with the emotion and gravitas of the pro wrestling match. Like they want to see the bad guy get their comeuppance, you know?
Mm-hmm. I hear that.
And what I think is so implanted within Memphis, because there was a lot, it was a packed house, and is at the Minglewood Hall. It's kind of like just outside of downtown Memphis. So if you go like a couple exits east from the Mississippi River, you just get off the exit, the Minglewood exit, and you're there. And it's not exactly like Beale Street, where Beale Street's kind of a little bit more touristy, but they still got like that old facade. This one is like, it's like Dayton or something, where it's, you know, looks pretty rough. Like it's been around for a while and it hasn't been kept up well. Like I parked in a vacant lot right across the street that was dipped down. It was obviously like a carved out apartment. Like it looked bombed out basically where I parked. And when I got in there, well, when I was in line, it wasn't fans like, oh man, do you think Finn Balor is going to be here or that he's going to get the title? Now, these were just like very staunch people of completely like varied backgrounds, college kids, families, basement dwellers, yokels. Like it was
chuds.
Chuds. Yeah. Ugly ass people. No, I'm joking. It was a really good crowd. And some of them were like super in the know. Like they had Bullet Club shirts from like Japan Circuit Wrestling when Finn Balor was over there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's bringing back like Balor Club now, if you've watched NXT recently.
I don't know crap about it. My hatred for the WWE has extended even to NXT.
Oh, that's a bummer because they're getting a lot of good guys. They're getting like Nakamura soon, and that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I hear things are going really well over there, but I'm just, it's like
AJ Styles. Well, I mean, AJ Styles got bumped up to WWE. So I heard from that line. This line had like so much knowledge about all this stuff. They were talking about like who's injured, how that's going to affect certain angles and storylines. Like, I'm sure it's not that different from other crowds, but this was like, it felt like it was to a person aside from kids under 8. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was just curious and enthusiastic too. And then when we got into the seating area around the ring, and once the show started, like everybody brought that same enthusiasm, but it wasn't as like smarky as I thought it would be, where they're looking for mutual agreement. People were yelling out stuff and heckling and all that kind of good stuff, but with the same pretense that like, okay, we all know this is fake. We're all just going to be self-aware about this, and I'm going to yell this with some feigned enthusiasm, and that's why it's funny. So like every yell would get like chuckles, and people would try to one-up each other and stuff. And it was actually quite fun, really fun. But even for the kids, because the kids don't really get all that nuanced stuff. Like since they're not so, the adults aren't so direct with the yells and the heckling, the kids are still permissible to have a good time. And I didn't quite understand how that worked. Like when people talk about that wrestler, Bailey,
mm-hmm.
I sat next to the kid who was like the Bailey kid. Like she ran up, Bailey picked her out, gave her like the Bayley t-shirt and then called her back up after the match ended, let her hold the belt. It was super cute.
Like in the first row?
No, we were like six rows back.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the yells were hilarious though. Like these people were so fucking funny, man.
I just want to say that I really regret that you didn't get to be the Bayley kid. Like if she didn't come and put like her glasses on you, like hug you before.
Yeah. I tried to be like Bruce McCullough when he plays a kid. I look like Gavin from the Kids in the Hall sketches. I had like a Zelda sweatshirt on or a green Zelda cap on rather, and a yellow like sweatshirt and backpack. I'm like, did you know that when you hug somebody, you're using 500 muscles? It's true.
That would have been good.
Yeah, the people were really fucking funny though. Like there was a lot of yells for slow count ref. That was a slow count. And people constantly asking that the ref check on somebody in a submission hold to make sure that they're still alive. And I think during one of the matches with Alexa, who's a heel and usually will cheat or something to win a match, one of the people, like, it's only like 30 seconds in, a guy in the behind me is like, Alexa, you're gonna have to cheat to win. There's no shame in that. It was always pretty funny. Two guys were going back and forth during the Samoa Joe Sami Zayn match, where Sami Zayn's the face in that one, and he had Samoa Joe in a headlock, and one of the guys was a Samoa Joe fan, like purposefully cheering on the heel, and the guy for Sami Zayn is like, ref, check him. I think Joe's out. And the other guy stands up. He's like, no, ref, give him some space. He just needs a little bit more time. And yeah, the crowd was totally into all of that. It was really funny. Also, they used the bell to start the match like maybe twice. So every time there wasn't a bell and you see the ref just kind of like give the go ahead to start, somebody in the audience would inevitably yell like ding, 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 which was super funny.
That's weird. Like, there's a specific guy who rings the bell. Like, that's his job. Like, the timekeeper. Like, what's this guy doing? He's going to get fired.
From where I heard the bell was coming from, I think they set it up near, like, the sound and lighting boards. And that was the only downfall, is that the lighting was pretty terrible. And I think it's just because it was such a small arena that they didn't want the lights to get too hot on the performers. Because when they were on, they were super bright. But when they were not on, it was definitely a dark show. Like, you couldn't really see a lot. So I don't think the crowd got that for the first match, which was, Asuka versus, I never remember her name, but she's like her main antagonist now, this woman from Australia. It was a really good match, but they had the lights on for the entrances, killed the lights a bit, but the crowd noticed that, and they're like, they did a turn the lights on chant, like turn the lights on, clap, clap, clap sort of thing.
That sounds really disheartening. I would hate to like pay to go see wrestling and then nobody bothered to ring any bells or turn any lights on.
Yeah, it had this very like worked down lo-fi feeling to the entire thing, but it was still enjoyable. Like that chant only happened once, because then afterwards your eyes adjust and it wasn't pitch black or anything. Like the lights were still there. It was just, if those lights were on, those performers would have been exhausted and really uncomfortable. And they're already uncomfortable, like being thrown on the ground and shit.
That is one of the more uncomfortable things that you can do.
Yeah. Being thrown on the ground and shit.
That's one of the worst things.
Yeah. But it was a fun time. Yeah. Afterwards I went to Ernestine and Hazel's, got some soul burgers because they're delicious. And yeah, headed back.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, it was the first wrestling event that I've been to for probably 15 years.
Didn't you go to a thing? Well, maybe you didn't.
I remember what it was.
I think you had plans to go to like a WWE event and then didn't.
No, the last one I went to was, I think it was Raw in, at Irving J. Nutter Center in Dayton.
Back when Val Venus was the Intercontinental Champion, back in my day.
Yeah, I think so. That may have been it. It was the night when Goldust was supposed to introduce the Blue Meanie as like Blue Dust or something, like a protege.
Oh, yeah. Then Valvinus probably was the Intercontinental Champion at the time.
I think he was. Yeah, but the satellite feed kicked out. So even though it was like this big event for Irving J. Nutter Center, I don't think they've probably been back since, but it was just a bummer because we were expecting to at least kind of passively be on TV, and I don't think we were.
That happened to me at the Nutter Center, too. Maybe this was the same one. I remember going to an episode of Heat at the Nutter Center and then it not being able to be aired on TV.
I might be thinking of Heat. This was around the time of like the three-way title matchups where it was like Steve Austin, The Rock, and Mankind.
Yeah, the main event was Steve Austin, The Rock, and Mankind. Maybe this was the same thing.
It was. Did they chase each other around the ring?
That they did.
Okay, we were at the same show then. That was like, when was that? 2000, 2001?
Something like that. Maybe a little earlier than that.
Mm. Yeah, it'd have to be like 99 or 2000. 99. It was 99 because that was the year that I watched wrestling, I think.
And you could tell.
It became big for some reason.
Yeah, and you could tell it was 99 because we were both wearing our Limp Bizkit t-shirts.
Yep, that is true.
That was us.
We all said Frosted Tips. We were totally like unrecognizable among the crowd of Frosted Tips males.
That's true. We had those ball chain necklaces mm-hmm. for whatever reason. Yeah, I did some stuff this week. I went to
tell me about it.
I went to Subway. Like, you ever go there to Subway to get a sandwich?
Did you ask for like a foot long for $5?
Man, they don't even have $5 footlongs anymore. These footlongs are about $7.50 out here in California.
That's ridiculous. So you don't even get those great ads where it's like the song, like the $5 footlongs.
I haven't seen those in forever. Do you still get those ads? Do you still have $5 footlongs?
I don't know, man. I don't really get a Subway.
Oh, well.
Sorry, that sounded really shitty. It wasn't meant to be. It's just like I haven't been to Subway in a long ass time.
Well, you got my hopes up. I thought that maybe somewhere out there would still be $5 footlongs.
Well, if you need your love of Subway rekindled, there's a pretty funny Twitter account called WWE for Subway. And it's just a bunch of wrestling GIFs with dumb Subway captions.
Yeah, it's the best thing that's ever happened on the internet.
It's pretty great. I think the last one I looked at was like when the sandwich artist slips her number into your sandwich, like the Subway bag before you leave. And it's a picture of the Rock. It's a GIF of the Rock, like giving the eyebrow and smiling. So that's, if you like that, definitely follow that Twitter account. It's really good.
It is very good. But yeah, so I went to Subway and I'm just hanging out. The sandwich artist is, you know, applying the proper amount of spinach and whatever.
The person's an artist
mm-hmm.
of sandwiches. Yeah.
And then this is actually kind of like that Rock GIF, actually. Oddly enough. But so like she rings me up and then she's like, hey, can I ask you a question? If you promise like not to be mad, which is like not a good thing to hear.
That's not a great way to start a conversation,
especially like, with someone.
Promise me you won't get upset or offended or any other natural emotion that might be coming from somebody who's upset or offended.
Yeah. Especially coming from somebody who like just touched your sandwich, you know? It's like, I figured she'd be like, I got diarrhea so bad. I'm sorry. You know, or something like this.
I didn't have time to wash my hands.
Yeah.
It's all over that. I hope you like the taste of it.
So then she goes, I go, well, I mean, I'll probably be mad. Like, this never is like a good question if you have to preface it that way. But she asked anyway. And she was like, you're the cutest guy who comes into Subway.
Jesus Christ. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, that's always, well, like, it's sort of a double-edged sword because it's like, it's very nice to hear that you're cute, but like the cutest guy that goes into Subway, like that's not like a, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like, okay. It's not like there are some Adonises, you know, Zac Efron's not going to Subway.
Oh, I see where you're coming from.
This hairy chested, but still pretty good. I mean, it's nice
For that small of a pond, you're the cutest fish.
And it is the most popular Subway in town. So, you know, that's under my belt. This isn't some Subway out in the boonies.
I wouldn't sell yourself short, honestly. Like, any of those places sees a ton of people. Like, you didn't go into some dive bar where every other MF-er looks like Charles Bukowski in his worst years. No offense, Chuck, but the guy was, you know, prune-faced. And
well, you can't say stuff. Corey's going to be so mad at you. You can't make fun of Chuck Bukowski's looks for being old. He's going to give it to you in podcast.
There was self-derision there. Like, it's not... God damn it. Okay. Anyway.
He's really going to let you have it.
Whatever. But yeah, anyway, she sees a lot of people, different walks of life. Like, yeah, I think that's a pretty good compliment.
Yeah, this is the downtown subway. I mean, if you're going to be lauded as the cutest guy in subway, you want it to be the downtown subway.
Yeah, this is a subway that Macklemore references in his song Downtown. He's like, gonna go to Subway. You remember that lyric?
I do remember that.
That's the one. So yeah, I don't even know if that's the end of the story. Was there any more to that? She's like, don't get offended. You're the cutest customer who comes in the subway.
Yeah. So she goes, you're the cutest customer that comes in the subway.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, but you're totally gay, right?
Oh. Were you offended by that? Or were you like, why would I be offended by that?
Yeah, I was kind of like, why would I be offended by it? Well, I mean, first I was like, well, why would – like I have this – like I don't – like I was like, why – like why would this be the question first of all? Like I was like – because, you know, like how do you come up with needing to ask somebody if they're gay after only meeting them for 10 seconds and making them a sandwich? Like that was kind of like my first thought. But then my second thought was, why would I be mad at that? Like, she thought that she would be like, but you're gay, right? And then I would just be like, I would, like, just start knocking over all the snacks, you know, and, like, knock.
It's a
like
bull in a china shop right yeah, afterwards.
Yeah, I would, like, just start knocking over, like, the rows of baked Doritos and being like, I am not a homo. You know, like that she thought that would be my reaction for
yeah.
some reason.
Maybe she's experienced it before, like who knows.
Like the
like, hey, you're really cute for someone who might possibly be gay, and that person was like roar and hulked out.
Yeah, like the previous most cutest guy at that subway, like she was like, you're cute but you're gay, right? And he was just like, no, and ripped up all the sandwiches.
What an unusual tack onto that comment though. Like a person can't just be cute. You have to, I mean, I realize that she's easing in trying to flirt,
mm-hmm.
but still, what a piss poor way to flirt. No offense to the person who complimented you. I'm sure she's got other good qualities, but yeah, that's a really weird thing. It's like, hey, you're very good looking. Now let's immediately jump into your sexuality.
Well, I do like that she's cutting to the chase. I mean, if she was flirting with me with the intent to smash my puss.
That's right.
Like
that's true. I didn't think of that part.
She would need to get right down to brass tacks and know whether or not I like smash dudes' pusses or not.
The dude puss. I like that. Yeah, she's. Yeah, I see where she's going with that, but you know, to draw boundaries or anything, just like take the chance.
Yeah, man.
If you're cute. Follow it up. If you want to tell someone that you're cute, like, you know, like to learn, get to know you more, and then just set up the date or something. I don't understand. Like, you're cute. Now let's go over this checklist of personality traits. What's your sexuality? You know, have you ever had any serious surgery? You know, I don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, you know, that, like, then, like, she could have followed that up with, like, you're cute, but are you gay? And if so, like, that doesn't really matter because sexuality is fluid.
Like, yeah. Yeah, that's what I think. It's in. Like, it's just a very, I guess that's where I'm coming from with this. That's a pretty immediate jump when you're, you know, being flirtatious and friendly. I just feel like she'd follow it up with, like, a contract or something. Like, right there.
Yeah, that would, like, if I had to sign a contract after like, a non-disclosement agreement or something.
Just to verify that you weren't truly offended by her asking your sexuality.
Yeah.
Well, your sexual preference or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I'm sure that she probably does get, like, any, like, I live in, like, this really shitty small town. And I'm sure that, like, asking somebody if they're gay, like, could be a crime punishable by just getting slapped in the face or something, like, because it's like such a crummy town. Like, there are no gay bars within like 100 miles of where I live, which I learned the hard way. Like, I moved here in Dayton. I used to always go to the gay bar. Well, the gay bars, Cowboys, which was like the little like crummy one, which was awesome. And whatever the name of the good one was, they used to be 1470s.
Yeah, 1470s. I didn't realize that Cowboys was a gay bar.
Oh, yeah?
I used to go there and play pool all the time.
Oh, yeah, it was a gay bar.
Okay.
Fun.
That's funny. I never – are you talking about the one by Canal Street Tavern?
Yeah, it's like kind of – well, it's like a couple of blocks away. It's like sort of north or into downtown more.
Oh, shit. Wasn't there like a big pink triangle on it or something?
I would assume so.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't think that was a gay bar.
But yeah, but like when we moved out, like those were my favorite bars. And yeah. Because, you know, they got a fun atmosphere. So I moved out here and I'm like, hey, wife, you know, we're living out here. Let's celebrate. Let's go out to the gay bar. And she's like, no, we don't have that. So which really bummed me out.
That's a bummer. I actually went to the gay bar this past Wednesday. A friend and I went to try out the karaoke that was going on there. Mm-hmm. We were like two of probably 8 people at this bar on a Wednesday. Because here's the other thing. Trump came to Little Rock on Wednesday night, which is a bummer. And I'm sure that like got a lot of attention. But I can't imagine people who would go. Well, I don't know. I would assume that people who would go to a Trump rally probably wouldn't go to a gay bar. But maybe there were protesters outside or something. I didn't really pay much attention to it. Anyway, it was kind of dead. I'd been there before for like the alternative burlesque show that was going on, where it's not quite like old school burlesque. It was more of this people trying out different stuff. Really fun, but the place is super loud, like really, really loud. Still a good time. Watched my friend do a couple of songs. She did some David Bowie and...
Nice.
Donna Summer's version of MacArthur Park, which I didn't know existed, but that song is fucking great. She did a really good rendition of both.
That sounds good. That's like that's one of the best things that I always found about going to the gay bar is like you can play the music that you enjoy, like without having to worry about somebody being mad at you. Like I'm like, oh, this is my time to play that Britney Spears song that I think is catchy and no one's gonna be the wiser.
Yeah. Yeah, and also really good happy hour, though. I didn't take advantage of it. I wasn't really feeling like drinking on Wednesday. And we got to meet people, too. That was cool. Since there were so few of us, it didn't feel like why the hell be strangers, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't meet Trump, though, did you?
No. No.
That's too bad. But anyway, so I say to this girl, I say, why, you know, like, why would you think that I would be upset by this? Because, like, generally, like, at least with me, I don't know if other people are like this. Like, you could be like, you can, like, tell me pretty much, like, the worst shit. Like, but if you preface it by telling me that I'm cute, like, I'll be pretty chill. Like, you could be like, hey, you're pretty cute. But, like, I'm definitely going to take this Subway knife and slide it between. I'm going to take the sharpest knife we have here at Subway. And I'm going to slide it slowly between your third and fourth rib, you know? And I'd be like, oh, so you think I'm cute, eh? Like, you know?
Ouch. That was nice.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever with that knife stuff, but.
And what'd she say? What'd she do?
Well, she goes, well, I don't know. I was just curious because you sound gay.
Oh. Okay.
So.
Living in Little Rock. I've gotten that many times.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I guess asking for the tuna on flatbread sounds gay.
That's probably the gayest thing a man can do.
I guess.
Next to... Yeah, I don't know. I never got that commentary. Like the, oh, you sound gay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It bugs me because it's like, I'm sure there was like a time like in grade school where I kind of thought I had an idea about it. But there's even like that old SNL sketch with Dana Carvey where he's was just thinking about this past week, actually, where everybody mistakes him for being gay because he just has this very high, shrill voice. Do you remember this?
Yeah, yeah. He's, like, very effeminate. He's got, like, that mustache and, like, yeah.
And so, even, like, some of the body language. But he's not gay. So that was the crux of that sketch. Mid-90s fucking SNL. Everything was a sitcom, by the way. Like, that thing was supposed to be, like, this is a sitcom. Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer was a sitcom. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't really think we do that anymore.
I don't know. I don't watch SNL anymore. But, yeah, that's definitely, like, the easiest way to form your premise is to just say it's a commercial or a sitcom.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to, like, over-explain.
And introduce a character. But, yeah, that even as far back as then, like, people were still questioning that logic of, well, okay, what does a gay person sound like? I mean, hell, like, the people's accents fluctuate. It's when I moved to Little Rock where people were like, oh, I mean, you sound like you're gay, like your voice. It's like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's, people have different dialects, ways of speaking. Like, this isn't that. I'm guessing if you got it all the way in California, then there's that same sort of ear going on where I'm living now.
Could
so
be.
I don't know. Maybe if we were like back in like northern Kentucky or southwest Ohio, we'd sound like straight guys, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe. next time you visit Dayton, try to gauge it and see if anybody who works at the subway will throw it out. They like, hey, you're cute, but you sound like a straight guy.
Like, what I'm all gonna of us do, here in Southwest. Next time I go back to Dayton, I'm gonna go to every subway. I'll be like, I'll order something and I'll be like, hey, thanks. And if nothing happens within like 30 seconds of me just standing there and staring at the person, I'm gonna say, like, listen, I was gonna wait for you to breach this, but I mean, what do you think my sexuality is? Just by the sound of my voice, like, let's run through this again. Close your eyes and just listen to how I order, and I'll see what they think.
I think that's a good plan.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's the only way we can get to the bottom of this. But anyway, so it was very nice. I found it humorous, and also it made my day. I still got it, Mr. Frisbee. Still cute to people,
yeah,
who,
man,
make sandwiches.
Oh, you're a super cute dude.
Hey, thanks. You're cute, too.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, well, that's fun. I was kind of worried because I didn't know if that was going to, like, turn you off to going to that subway or anything anymore. Are you going to go back there and be like, hey, it's me, the cute guy that you think is gay because of my voice?
Yeah, that's how I'm going to walk in. I'm just going to announce myself, like how they do at, like, royal parties.
Yeah, you should have somebody go and announce for you, like like in medieval times or something.
Yeah. I think that would be good. So, yeah, I mean, there's only like 4 places downtown to eat, so I'm going to have to go back. Not that I wouldn't go back, but, yeah, I mean, yeah, I got to get those sandwiches. I got to get that flatbread.
Yeah. Speaking of places downtown to eat, I have something that I have to say or to get off my chest. I got something to say.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong about something from last week. We were talking about eating crawfish, right?
Yeah.
It's Mardi Gras is coming up this week. So crawfish abounds. There was like Mardi Gras parades going on today. And a lot of fun stuff. And part of that's eating a lot of crawfish because they're starting to get in season a little bit, kind of coming more around like March and April, but people are game for it because it's a Louisiana thing, whatever. And last week when we were talking about it, I told you about that crawfish boil I went to and how I was only eating the tails. You're like, well, you suck the little faces.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it started. And then I got really concerned because I thought you were eating like the brains, which I didn't think were that tasty. I realized like right after how I misheard you. You're talking about like tipping back the part that isn't the tail and getting the juice out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I fucked up because I was looking online. And I was like, how is he doing this? What does this mean? And, I looked up, like, is it normal to eat crawfish heads like this, if you want to suck the juice from the head. And I'm sending you something right now through text message. So here you go.
Is it just like a big GIF that says yes?
Not exactly. It's a little bit more detailed.
I see now, looking at my texts, that you wanted to start recording the show a little later. I apologize for not seeing that and making you start on my timetable.
No, I thought it was going to be late. Turns out I was okay. I just needed to... I thought I needed more time. But anyway, I just sent you the picture.
Okay. It's a,
did you get it?
It's a diagram of the old method, the twist and snap. With a twisting motion, snap the head away from the tail. Optional step for diehard, suck the juice from the crawfish head.
See, I thought you were going like straight to the face, like you were making out with a tiny crawfish and then biting into the head and then like chewing the brain out. Yeah, I went too far with it. See, as much as like I'm used to this innuendo heavy way of eating crawfish, and this was explained to me by a friend of the show, Scott, when I was talking about this. I'm like, do you like suck the face? He's like, well, we don't really call it suck in the face. It's more innuendo laden when you say suck the head. And it's like, oh, okay. And then I realized, like, yeah, I was wrong. So, yeah, you were eating it exactly right. I actually do a similar thing, but I just kind of tip the body back with the head on it and get all that stuff out. But for all intents and purposes, it's probably what you do too, I imagine. But
I do. Also, you know, I'll tongue the face and eyeballs a little bit just for, yeah. You know, I sexually identify as a crawfish, so it's kind of what I'm into.
Yeah, they're pretty cute. They got tiny, cute lobster faces. So why wouldn't you? You know, and those big doe eyes.
Yeah.
Just explode out of their head. Who can resist?
It's sexual in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was wrong. There you go. I was wrong as well this week.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. My best friend, Sarah Murphy, in Podcast Town.
Yeah.
She pointed out the silliness of, you know, last week when I was talking about Janine Garofalo. She pointed out the silliness of holding people to 25-year-old opinions, and I wholeheartedly agree with that.
That was a really good exchange. I saw that going on. I was like, oh, man. Well done, I guess. On both your parts, that was a pretty funny quip, and I liked your realization. Because your immediate response to it was like, oh, no worries. I'm taking pictures of everything on here.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So it should be hard, TBH. And then you're like, oh, I just got it. Well pointed out. And yeah, that's what Podcast Town is all about, living and learning, you know?
That's true. Well, right now I feel like you shouldn't hold people to 25-year-old opinions. But in 25 years from now, I might change my opinion if I can ever bust Sarah Murphy.
Yeah.
I got screenshots of everything she said. So if I can catch her, I'm going to.
Yeah. I feel like she feels as though she's in the know about our show because she said it was it's her favorite police procedural drama. But, you know, not to pull back the curtain too much, that's the original acronym for PPR is Police Procedural Radio.
Is that right?
I think so, isn't it?
Yeah. that is true.
That was the entire college radio show. Pool Party Magazine was just a very well hidden cryptograph sort of police reader, so you could see who got busted that week and who to be on the lookout for.
That was the zine. It was just like a list of mugshots of people I was looking for.
It sounded like when you read it, it looks like we're just talking about, or like you for the most part, we're talking about like bands, local bands and stuff. Like, oh, the Jackalopes are playing the show. But if you knew like the code for it, you'd see that says like this person is suspect for dealing drugs out of their garage. Stay tuned for the next Pool Party Magazine.
Yeah, it was good. And also there's going to be a review of the new Jackalopes album as well.
Yeah.
That was the zine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so like I feel like I would be horrified to like have to defend opinions I had even like 6 months ago. So, you know, like I feel like not holding people to opinions from a long time ago is a good idea. And also, like someone was talking about this. I forget if it was like on a podcast I was listening to or what, but someone was saying, like, we get caught, like, something happened, like, when John Kerry ran for president, where all of a sudden, like, changing your mind about something became, like, flip-flopping and became, like, this horrible thing, like, that society frowns upon.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's actually, like, the best thing that you can do as a person is to, like, change your mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, like, where, like, this came. Well, I mean, I guess I do know. It came from John Kerry and the people who hated him. But, yeah, like, people feel like, oh, man, this guy changed his mind. We can't trust him anymore, like, which I think is bad and we should try to get away from.
Yeah, it's the shittiest thing to be so against that idea that you can somehow get more information and be like, oh, you know what? I was wrong, or my perspective has shifted on this. I would hate to feel as though people don't want that and, in fact, want the exact opposite. It's like, no, I want somebody who, even in the face of reason and sound logic, sticks to their guns and is just walking like a damn lemming off the side of a cliff. Why would you want that? Why? Like, we've got so much information exchanged and you still would rather be like, nope. Even with that there and ever present and staring us back in the face, let's just keep doing what we're doing, because I don't know, we're all depressed, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think that there's definitely that. Like, there's a study I was reading where, like, people who believe a certain thing, like, will believe it harder when presented with evidence to the contrary. Like, it's like just something hardwired in our brains that does that. Like, even that, like, even like on stuff that you're super wrong about, obviously you should change your tune. But, like, you know, stuff that, like, you know, like, I think that people are even afraid to change their tune on, you know, well, you know, I didn't like Avatar at first, but now I do. Like, I feel like even stuff like that, like, people will be like, how can you change your mind about something like this? Like, this is a suspect. Like, even simple things, I feel, where there is no right or wrong answer necessarily, people are afraid to change their minds on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is that fear, especially, like, if you're the person making the change, you want to kind of absolve it with some kind of snide comment. Not you specifically, I'm just saying, like, anybody. Like, oh, yeah, I've changed my mind on this, but I don't like it. Like, I hate the fact that I have to go through this process and admit I was wrong about something or whatever.
Well, it is hard, which is why I think that this segment where we're wrong needs theme music. It needs to become permanent. I think it should be a part of every podcast.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Should it be like something kind of more, like, a little bit mournful, like the ending theme to The Incredible Hulk when he's, like, hitchhiking?
Well, that's our apology theme.
Oh, that's right. Shit. Okay, we can't use that one then. Should it be something slightly hopeful?
Maybe it should just be like that Social D song.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that, too. I almost added that to the first time we did this because I hadn't heard it for a while.
Yeah. Well, I used it as, like,
it's pretty direct. It's just him chanting, I was wrong, for, like, for the chorus. And what does he say? Self-destruction's got me again, or it happened again.
It's got him again.
Yeah. I don't think it's self-destruction. I think it's like a phoenix rising, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, rising from the ashes of stupidity. Well, that ignorance, or...
that song's, like, definitely, like, about being wrong about stuff that's, like, way harder than the stuff we'd typically be wrong about. Like, I think in that video, there's, like, you know, he's, like, hitting his wife, you know. I don't know that we're going to be wrong that hard.
Yeah, I don't think we're that wrong, but, you know, time will tell. We've got plenty of time.
That's true.
But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I like this segment. Goodbye, David.
Yeah, I think it could be good. I do want to apologize to somebody, though.
Who's that?
I'd like to apologize to Janine Garofalo.
Oh.
For what I said.
Yeah.
It was uncalled for, you know? She never said anything mean about me that I know of. And yet I made fun of her.
Yeah, I'm sure she's still nice. I just haven't watched that Wild American TV series yet. Is she at least kind of funny in it? Because I heard that entire series isn't that great.
No, nobody's really that funny in it.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I said that. Everybody tried their best.
But they're not funny. It's like, if it still didn't make you laugh, I don't think that's something they have to apologize for.
Well, I apologize then for apologizing about that.
Well, I appreciate it.
I didn't think the show was very good. Maybe I was just angry about that, and I took it out on Janine Garofalo.
Could be. Whenever I don't like something that I've just watched, it's like that thing we were just talking about where it's like if you prevent sound reason or something, you get more resilient against it. Whereas, like, with certain art stuff, if I don't like the art itself, I'm going to find other stuff to pick apart, like straw man arguments or something, you know? Like, well, I didn't like the people in it. That's the problem. I don't know. Maybe it just didn't fly with me. Who cares?
That's true. I think that happens a lot. I think that my man, Kevin Moss.
Yeah?
I apologize.
From Junk Food Dinner?
From Junk Food Dinner. I'm going to apologize in advance for criticizing him. But he doesn't like the movie Dream a Little Dream. And I think it's only because he doesn't like Corey Feldman. I think that maybe if that movie had somebody else, he would really enjoy that movie, you know? And I think he's just so blindly against Corey Feldman.
Did you like that movie?
I loved it.
Oh, okay.
The movie I didn't like. I found a Corey Feldman movie I don't like the other day. It's called Round Trip to Heaven. It sucked bad. So now I have to commit suicide.
Oh. Are we going up to Washington then? Or what's going on?
I think we're going to have to.
Nice. I always wanted to see Washington.
Well, yeah. But I just want to say to Kevin that I reckon that Corey Feldman could just help you if you let him into your heart.
Maybe he needs to watch that What's Up With the Kids video again.
I think that would help, yes.
The one where he's on like that Howard Stern show, like from the early 90s. Where Howard Stern's dressed up as like Right Said Fred. Right Said Howie, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's one of the better things that's ever been recorded in any format.
I think so. Yeah.
Speaking of recording things in a format, we have an MVPP to do. We'll do it real quick.
Yeah.
We're going long. We're chatty Cathy's on this episode, but we'll get through our MVPPs. I don't think I have too much to say about mine. They're pretty quick. But what is your MVPP, which is to say your most valuable partier this week?
In that Memphis crowd that I went to at NXT, I was apprehensive about going because I figured there'd be a lot of like greasy nerds, and they were there and they were fine, but they were funny. Like everybody was funny, and especially like this isn't like a ploy to get Dad Hatton listeners on our side, but the dad next to me who brought his young daughter, who was like the kid who got to hold the women's championship belt with Bayley and all that stuff, he was super cool. Like their family situation was super cool, because he was like, you know, helping her have a good time throughout the entire thing, lifting her up to see what was happening, like when the audience would stand up, all that stuff. And even when there was like a match where, I mean, frankly, nobody knew who was the heel and who was the face, like they introduced some new wrestler, so it was kind of hard to gauge like who are we cheering for. The little kid even asked, like, who's the good guy? And he's like, well, I don't know, sweetie. You can root for whoever you want, though, you know, just as long as you're having a good time. And yeah, good dude, good people. 100 A+ would attend a wrestling show in Memphis again.
Nice. I would meet that dad.
Yeah,
that would be nice. I would invite him to Dad Hatton. My most valuable pool partier is Ted Cruz's daughter, who wouldn't kiss him on the campaign trail.
Is that not the most uncomfortable clip you've seen all week?
It's so weird.
Oh, man. The insistence to kiss.
Yeah. And it's like, that's like a normal situation. Like if you've got a kid of like, just a kid of like really any age, like even if they're two, like sometimes they're just like, get away. I don't want to kiss.
Yeah.
But like just the way he like goes about it, like with his mouth all open, he like looks right into the camera before he forces the kiss on her. It's like,
yeah, it's uncomfortable.
It is weird. And then like,
so,
and like, you know, I don't know. It's like, what do you do though? If you're Ted Cruz, you got all these cameras on you. You're trying to look like a family man to give votes. It's like, you can either go in for the kiss from your daughter. She says no. Like, you go, okay. And then you look like a weak pussy whose kids hate him. Or you, like, don't take no for an answer, which I think is probably the most Republican option that he had.
Yeah, I feel like if that – did you hear about that Return of Kings thing that swiftly got canceled this week?
Sort of vaguely. Like, I heard about it. Like, people were like, oh, man, this guy thinks that rape should be legal. We got to stop him. And I just, like, immediately thought it was satire, so I didn't look into it. But then it persisted, so I guess it's not satire.
Well, yeah, this thing – not to get off tangent here when you mentioned not taking no for an answer, I immediately thought of this group. Because that's their entire MO is like, women should listen to men on these topics. And we know what's best for women. They should just be making sandwiches. And like, literally, this is what it is. It feels like satire. And then a lot of that goes into consent and how like drug and alcohol doesn't really matter when playing in terms of consent, when it legally does and truthfully does. And also like if these weird vampire type rules, like if you invite a woman into your house, then anything goes, and it's all creepy as hell. But they were supposed to meet up this afternoon as we're recording this, and they posted the locations, and they're like, use these secret passwords to get to know each other. It all felt like satire. And people were commenting like, oh, this is great, we finally have a public meeting place. And there was a lot of like good sir or my good man sort of exchanges, so the fedoras were ever present. And I was like, oh, shit, this is happening, like, in a lot of places. I wonder if this is what's going to happen. Thankfully, like, bunches of groups in reaction were like, yeah, we're going to show up, too, and record all of you fucking assholes and let people know who's who and what's what. And they're like, I didn't know this was happening. Why are people trying to out us in public? And the main guy behind it, like, he's out of Scotland or something. He's living in his mom's basement and was tweeting about all this stuff. And he actually called the cops because he felt unsafe for organizing all this. And they're like, wait, you're a pro-rape advocate. There's probably some other issues going on. So that guy's in some hot water.
I would imagine. I feel bad though. Like, I saw that people were like, we're going to get these guys by recording them and, you know, showing that, you know, these guys are there. Like, I feel bad for the three guys who are like going there to protest, but then like they get lumped in as like being part of it.
or the one or two guys who are just passing through the shot like as it's happening, and like, and this fucking guy, and he's like, what?
Yeah,
this is my routine on Saturdays. What the hell's going on?
I'm just on my way to Subway, for God's sake.
That's the other weird part, is like going back to the voice and whatnot, they were like, no women can come, and no gay dudes either. It's like, ugh. The entire thing was just gross. And the reaction was really funny. The fact that they were just like, oh, we didn't know this could happen. It just tells you like how entrenched in the internet they are, where it's like they don't get how public life works.
Yeah.
You're in public. Like, people can show up and protest against you.
Yeah. I think it's really offensive that they won't let gay dudes show up and be part of their club, because it's like, but there's like a gay dude in that town that like really is interested in rape, you know? And like, who does he get to hang out with?
Right. He's definitely hearing that like sad walking away music all the time.
Yeah. So, he's got nobody.
Yeah. He's got nobody, for better, I guess. But anyway.
Yeah. Also,
that was funny.
Yeah. I also wanted to point out about Ted Cruz, like, because he's got two like preteen daughters or younger or something like that. Like, they're pretty young. And like, I just can't imagine like being a dad living in Dad Hatton and being like, man, I got these preteen daughters. Like, not only do I want to control their lives on a familial level, but I want to take that shit to the federal level, you know, like wanting to control your daughters. Like, man, yeah. Like, man, not, I'm so adamant about my daughters not getting the HPV vaccine.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to make that shit a federal law. Like, I'm going to spend millions of dollars and run for president.
Yeah.
And make it not only so that the punishment to my daughters will be getting grounded and maybe not getting an allowance, but also maybe some jail time and heavy fines.
Yeah. It's very, very fucking silly. And it's always like a guy coming up to all sad sack at any of these performances of just like, sir, we're coming here on behalf of the women in our lives to tell you that they care about health issues and want us to definitely control every aspect of it. It's like, get a life. I mean, you don't have a vagina. You don't have any of this stuff. So why do you feel so knowledgeable about it? You sell cars. Like, you didn't have any knowledge about this before.
Mm-hmm. And if Ted Cruz did have a vagina, you bet your ass old cunt smash your frisbee would smash that shit in a heartbeat. And, all right, so who is your party
pooper? I don't know. I thought that was more of like, oh, I don't know. I don't know about that nickname. But who's my party pooper?
Yeah.
People who are buying into like the Trump media frenzy, particularly like media. This is something that I don't know if we touched upon this too much. I think I was talking about it a little bit last week. But just the fact that people are still so interested in Trump, like, I don't know if the Meet the Kardashians or Keeping Up with the Kardashians have an off season, but people are just always fascinated with folks that they'll never know on a personal level, they'll never meet, who aren't like celebrity in the traditional sense, and that they're not really showing off any particular talent. They're just there, and they say outrageous things, and people are like, well, since that person said something outrageous, I guess I gotta follow it and talk about it all the fucking time. I mean, that's all it is. And people are still overwhelmed and like, they can't not talk about it. And that with the media, like media outlets, even they are giving time to it. Like, none of the stuff he says actually is going to be affecting us in the long run. Whereas there are politicians who have like very clear ideas of what they want to do that will affect you if they get elected. And that's what's being ignored. Like, I mean, we don't take shit seriously ever, not just as a country, but as like a species. We always focus on the stuff that's just hot air, and we keep repeating it and making it known. It takes up all the time of a news broadcast, and it's just so fucking worthless. So the fact that people are into it grinds my gears. It gets me worked up.
That's understandable. Yeah, I think it's funny, like, this sort of media backlash that Trump is having now, because like, they made him, like, they were like, oh man, this guy's calling senators ugly. He's like fucking like calling, like, he's making fun of disabled people in the crowd. Like, he's doing all this crazy stuff. So we got to give him time to, you know, like, we got to put him on TV because that equals ratings. And then now they're like, oh shit, like, we gave this guy so much time that people are going to vote for him. Like, now we got to scale it back. What the fuck? What did we do?
The one thing they could have mediated at all, and they fucked it up. Because, like, even in stuff like, you know, just to pull it back a bit, like, legitimate news outlets that broadcast on the radio, even they were like, we're going to talk about Donald Trump and what he said. Not, we're going to talk about Donald Trump being such an anomaly, because it is. And he's even gone on record as like, there's a post on Politico that lays out, like, yeah, he predicted that he would be able to win because he knows how well he can manipulate mass media. And now the mass media is probably just feeling like, you know, all offended that they got called out by the person who worked them. They're like, oh no, we didn't mean it like that. It's like, you have hours, fucking days of news coverage for this guy. You got used, and now you look like assholes for it by people who are, you know, able to criticize and critique. So now you're backing off. Like, give it a rest. Like, I'm done with broadcast media. Totally. Like, rather, I mean, I'm hoping newspapers get a resurgence. I'm not making a joke about your working for. I really hope that people are like, oh yeah, newspapers. At least it's a bit more objective, or not just this. You can actually meet it halfway and be like, oh, this is a shitty opinion article, or this article's not being as biased as it needs to be.
Yeah. And then also, I could, like, maybe make more money and afford to pay my bills if newspapers came back, I think purely personal level, I would like
that. I'm praying for you, because I think I said it's not as biased as it needs to be. It's not as unbiased as it needs to be. That's what I meant. But yeah. Yeah, so that's a bummer. People who bought into fascination of Trump. That's it. Like, I mean, whatever is, I don't even know what his politics are. Like, it's kind of all over the map for a person who's on the Republican ticket, but you know, it's a very weird perversion to be focused so much on one person and then suddenly be all like, oh, I had no idea this would happen, because it's all we talked about.
How is this guy in the lead? How has he struck such a chord with the American people? This guy who's been on TV 24 hours a day on every single channel for 6 months.
Shit. Well, anyway, who's your party pooper?
My party pooper is the people of Iowa who voted for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Because they're literal party poopers. We were all having a good time throwing confetti around, talking about Feel the Burn, talking about making dank memes with Bernie Sanders, really having a good time out there, you know, making funny memes, making mashup logos where he's like, where Bernie's face is in the Descendants logo and in the Misfits logo. We were having a great time. Bernie Sanders is the Circle Jerks logo. Mm-hmm. And these people in Iowa just fucked it up. They said, hey, we're not going to let you guys party. We're going to go vote, be some party poopers and vote over here. Ruin the whole goddamn good time. Cancel your pizza while it's on the way, kind of a thing.
Oh, gross. Yeah, that's a good way to call it. Although I'm surprised at how much he got. Like, it was a near 50-50 split. I remember in one of the districts, they had to flip a coin. They filmed this. It's like the saddest event, because it's like in some high school gym, and that's literally what it comes down to. Like, if there's an even split, they flip a fucking quarter and call it.
Yeah, I heard that happened in 6 precincts, which is even, like, just why even have the goddamn election? Just flip a coin.
Yeah,
let's be done.
Exactly.
With it.
Yeah, when it comes, that's the distressing part and kind of tragic part about it. It's like, you know, you're being represented here. Well, not really.
Yeah.
We'll leave it up to chance this time.
Just flip an 8-sided die and we'll be done with it.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
But that's anyway. All right. So I guess that's the end of the show.
Yeah, you can find us at poolpartyradio.com on Facebook/poolpartyradio. You can also check out Podcast Town. Do a search for Podcast Town on Facebook. You'll find us and some more of your podcast friends and fiends. You got that Ilcon, you got that cuisine contest, you got that junk food dinner, you got those Bansy jams, and you got the trash video podcast, tons of stuff, tons of people, old bloods, young bloods. It's all there in Podcast Town. And you can also email us pictures of your pets. Any pets will do. It's poolpartyradio@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at Final Parker at Cumulus Frisbee. We will tweet back for sure. And check us out on your podcast app of choice. Rate and review us if it's possibility. Get the word out, because we enjoy it. We enjoy you guys and listening and whatnot. And if you like it, spread the word.
Indeed. Next week, there may not be a show. We have to go to New York to talk to general manager of SiriusXM, Tom Chiasano, about renegotiating our contract. Our original pool party contract with SiriusXM only lasted until episode 250, which is fast approaching. So we have to renegotiate, maybe figure out something else. Maybe we'll go to terrestrial radio. Maybe we'll go to the Anthony Cumia network. Maybe we'll go to the Nerdist network. You know, or maybe we'll retire. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? 250, that's a lot of episodes. How did it feel when you hit 250 at Junk Food Dinner?
Man, it felt nice. They gave us the brass ring. You know?
They gave you the brass ring?
Yeah, they gave us Rolexes over there where we are, which was very nice of them.
Well,
we renegotiated a contract over there for another 250 episodes. So hopefully we get the same deal here at Pool Party.
Yeah, I don't know. We might get like a tie clip or a pen, and not even like a really nice pen. Just like, here's a pen we found. I think it's a Bic.
And well, I'm not going to re-sign if they only offer us a Bic. But if they offer us one of those nice pens that are like pointy at the end, you know?
Yeah. You have to twist the top part to get the writing utensil to come out.
Yeah. And like maybe that you have to like dip in some ink. Then I'll definitely re-sign. But well, we just got to see what Tom Chiasano says over at SiriusXM. We're going to New York next week, so we'll see how it goes.
Yep.
In the meantime, though, this is Parker for Cumulus saying, thanks for having fun.